Christ is being preached, and he's praying for us this morning. So we're going to sing the hymn now in the back of the bulletin. If you all could please stand, the hymn on the back of the bulletin. Savior now and ever, praise him all beneath the sky, prostrate, lying, suffering, dying, on the cross a sacrifice, victory gaining, life attaining, now in glory he doth rise. Man's work faileth, Christ availeth, he is all our righteousness. He our Savior has forever set us free from dire distress. Through his merit we inherit light and peace and happiness. Since bondservered, we're delivered. Christ has bruised the serpent's head. Death no longer is the stronger. Hell itself is captive led. Christ has risen from death's prison. O'er the tomb he light has shed. For his favor praise forever, unto God the Father sing. Praise the Savior, praise him ever, Son of God, our Lord and King. Praise the Spirit, through Christ's merit, he doth us salvation bring. You may be seated. For our scripture reading, would you turn to the book of Matthew, chapter 6. Book of Matthew, chapter 6. We're going to begin reading in verse 7. I recall as a young man growing up in idolatry, we were made to memorize and to repeat the Lord's Prayer over and over and over again, letting us know that we would gain more merit with God and that that would be assurance of our salvation. Well, thanks be to God the Father, to our Lord Jesus Christ this morning. I don't believe that. That by virtue of our union with Christ, we can pray this prayer and have assurance that indeed he is our Father. So as we read this prayer, I trust the Lord would enable us. I know I get intimidated sometimes when I say I can call God my Father. It's Abba, Father. Yes, we can, because of Christ. Verse 7. But when we pray, use not vain repetitions, as the heathen do, for they think that they shall be heard for their much speaking. Be not ye therefore like unto them, for your Father knoweth what things you have need of before you ask him. After this manner, therefore, pray ye. This is what we ought to pray. Our Father, Abba, Father, which art in heaven, hallowed, holy, holy, holy be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven, and it will be done. It's been done. Oh, give us this day our daily bread. Right now, Lord, give us Christ. Oh, and forgive us our debts. As Robert said, a debt we cannot pay, as we forgive our debtors. And verse 13, I have to pray this every day, because if I don't, I know I will willingly dive into temptation. There's no question in my mind. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. The evil of this world, the evil of my flesh. Why? And where's our assurance? For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Let's pray. Our gracious and merciful Heavenly Father, we know that we can say that because of our union of thy dear Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. For Lord, we know this very moment he sitteth at your right hand, whoever intercedes for us. Lord, we're thankful for your word. We're thankful that you've given to us what we ought to say to you. And we have full assurance in knowing that the Holy Spirit makes it acceptable through the blood of Christ and through his righteousness, knowing that we are heard. We do ask, Lord, that you would forgive us of our sins. Cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And we do, Lord, ask for our daily bread right now. The faith to believe that thou art the Son of God. That we are called. That we are preserved. Lord, have we been set apart. And Lord, we are bondservants, your children. Oh, may you do that to the preaching of your gospel once again. And oh, how we ask that you would give our dear brother now the liberty and power to be able to lift up Christ. Give us eyes to see and ears to hear once again as we ask all these things to the glory of thy dear Son. Amen. Let's sing now to him, number 296 in the blue hardback. Number 296, if you could please stand. Number 296.
Savior leads me, what have I to ask beside? Can I doubt his tender mercy, who through life has been my guide? Heavenly peace, divinest comfort, here by faith in him to dwell. For I know whate'er befall me, Jesus doeth all things well. For I know whate'er befall me, Jesus doeth all things well. All the way my Savior leads me, cheers each winding path I tread, gives me grace for every trial, feeds me with the living bread. Though my weary steps may falter, and my soul athirst may be, gushing from the rock before me, lo, a spring of joy I see. Gushing from the rock before me, lo, a spring of joy I see. All the way my Savior leads me, oh, the fullness of his love. Perfect rest to me is promised in my Father's house above. When my spirit clothing mortal wings its flight to realms of day, this my song through endless ages, Jesus led me all the way. this my song. Through endless ages, Jesus led me all the way.
Maybe see. Mike.
Thank you, Brother Bert. I've been thinking this week, I thought, boy, the Lord has been gracious to us to deliver us out of the bondage of religion. Spending all our time working our way to heaven, always worried, did we do enough? Did we do it right? Did I study enough? Did I read my... Well, that's kind of how it is when I try to prepare these sermons. And then finally the Lord puts his hand on you and you say, Lord, either you give me a message or there's no message. And I pray that he will speak today to you and to me through me, and that my sin will not be a deterrent of it. I really do. Turn with me, please, to John 17. Before we begin, I've been thinking, the Lord told Isaiah, and he was the preacher, he said, Isaiah, comfort ye my people. Speak comfortably unto them. Isaiah, I want you to speak words of comfort to my people. That's the hope this morning. I need the Lord to speak words of comfort to me. And if you're a believer, you know you need him to speak them to you. And he said, well, what do you tell them? Tell them they're grass. Grass? How's that? That's words of comfort? Tell them they're nothing? That they're just grass? They grow up and the sun comes out and wilt and they die. Tell them, yes, that's what I want you to tell them. But I want you to also tell them that their warfare has been accomplished. It's finished. There's no battles. I've taken care of the battle. I've won the battle. Now, I think about you. I need to be comforted every day. I've learned for our young people, I hope you'll learn this lesson much earlier than I did. As Brother Greg says, I know that I'm either going in trouble or coming out of trouble. That my life on this earth is full of conflicts, trials, and tribulations. And they don't go away. They won't go away till I draw my last breath. And, you know, you hear the saying in religion, the Lord will never give you more than you can handle. Well, if that were true, I'm not a believer, because that's not my life's experience. Mine's just the opposite. My trials and conflicts, I can't tell you how many times I bury my face in my hands and says, Lord, I cannot take this another second. I don't know what to do. I'm overwhelmed. Lord, if you don't do something, I can't handle this. It's too much for me to bear. Lord, would you teach me how to... You've told me to cast my cares. Would you teach me to do that? I need to know how to do that. And sometimes our conflicts are so great. Lord, would you take me today? I can't take it anymore. And that's the believer's, that's my life experience. Maybe it's not yours, but if you're a believer, I know it is. And I know that these conflicts are not going to go away. And sometimes we mislead ourselves, especially in false religion. Peace is not the absence of conflicts. Do you hear me? Peace is not the absence of conflicts. Conflicts are going to come and go. And we are thankful those times when the conflicts are not overwhelming. But that's not peace. I need a peace that I can have through these times of conflict. I need a peace to know that it's not depending on something that I do or I've done. I need to know a peace that doesn't change and is outside of me. I need God to speak peace to me. And the title of this message is, Am I God's Child? Am I God's Child? I need to know that God is my Father, as you said, Bert, that Christ is my brother, and that the Spirit of God dwells within me, and that I am part of the bride. I need to know that I am a child of God. Because if God ever speaks that to my heart and gives me the faith to believe it, as only He can do, whatever happens in this world matters not. It doesn't mean they're not painful. I'm looking at faces here, and I told Brother Greg, I don't know how you say this in a kind way. I'll help any way I can, but boy, I don't want to know about it because I can't handle it. It's too much. It hurts too much to see our brothers and sisters in Christ in conflict and pain. But I know this. I know God's ordained the conflict. But that doesn't make it any less painful, does it? And I know even when things are going pretty good today, but guess what? I know something's coming. I know it's going to come again. And the part that I also know is conflict, trials, and tribulations are absolutely necessary for the salvation of your soul. Because I'll speak to me. My experience is, let things go to my pleasing, and I will never look to Christ. But let Him touch me with a conflict. Lord, please, please, Lord, please. Please, please change these things. Even to the point that we would ask that God would take us out of this world. But God never does He? And we're going to see here in John, no, I'm not taking you out of the world. I've brought Him in your life and mine to cause you to look to me. And you want comfort and peace? Look to me. And that's what we're going to talk about here this morning. The peace that only God can give. In chapter 17, how do we know that we're a child of God? I ask, do I believe what God is telling me right here? Do I believe it? Not that it might be true. I can assure you, when we go through this a little bit, you're going to see the difference. Only a child of God can believe what Christ is praying right here. And if we can do that, then the Lord will give us, I pray we can leave here this morning, to comfort to know, I'm His child. I'm His child. Of all days, I thought on Father's Day, I told my wife on the way, I don't know about most of the fathers in this room, I'm thankful for our children, but boy, my heart's heavy sometimes because I look at all the things I've done. Lord, I wish I'd done them differently, but I can't change the past. You see what I'm saying? But we have a Father who is the perfect Father. Perfect Father. He never corrects His children out of anger. He always corrects us in love and caring and compassion. My children's earthly father wasn't that way. Maybe yours was. I don't think they were either, but because of our flesh. But anyway, let us start with verse 1, please. These words spake Jesus as He lifted up His eyes to heaven and said, Father, Father, the hour is come. The Lord Jesus Christ is acknowledging to God the Father that I know, and I'm telling you, Lord, I know I'm close to going to the cross. I know where I'm headed. I know what's going to happen. These people, they think they're controlled, but I know, Lord, I'm going to that cross. And I've known it before the foundations of the world. I know I'm going because I know You sent me here to go to the cross. When God the Father, and we're going to see in a minute, before the world began, says, I'm going to save, and I like this term now, a particular people. I'm not going to save everybody. I'm going to certain people, and I'm going to save every one of them. And Christ the Son says, yes, Father, I'm going to see that your holy justice is met. I'm going to live a perfect obedience to your law. And I'm going to go to that cross, and I'm going to take on the sins of every single one of these people you gave me. And God the Spirit covenant with them saying, yes, and in due time, Lord, when you ordain it, I'm going to go to them and I'm going to make it effectual in their hearts. I'm going to give them the faith to believe and rest on Christ. Christ knew his time was coming. The hour was come. Our young people, and they asked me a question this morning about the Trinity. I said, well, it was God the Father, Christ the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And all I can tell you is, although they think three distinct, they act as one at all times. There's never a time we said, well, let's take a vote on it. We'll do that. No, they always act as one. I cannot explain to you the Trinity. I've had people in religion tell me, well, there's Robert the husband, Robert the father, and Robert the son. So that don't mean anything to me. I still can't, but I know this, it's true. It's a triune God that always acts as one. And the Lord Jesus Christ is saying, right here, the hour's come. Father, I'm perfectly obedient to you. I'm going to do what you've told me to do. Why? For the sakes of these people. And that's the only way it can be done. I have to go. The hour has come. Father, I want you to glorify thy Son, that the Son may also glorify thee. Only God, and we can only say this about God, everything that happens since the foundation of the world until when the world ends will be here for one reason, the glory of God. The glory of God. And pray that God will give us the ability to see that. These trials and tribulations I'm going through is for the glory of God and for my good. I know this comes out wrong. Religious people have a hard time understanding why horrific events happen. We went through a very painful one about a year ago right here in Orlando. It touched close by here. You understand, all these people were killed. They have a hard time understanding in the beginning God. That's what it says in Genesis. Every event that happens, God is the instigator and the executor of what happens. Was that event ordained to God? You better believe it. Well, how does he get glory on that? The best way I can describe it is he shows us just how evil man's heart is. And the miracle and the sadness, the question should be why did it happen? I know the question of the believer is, thank God it doesn't happen more often than it does. Surprised it doesn't happen every day. Because God has restrained the evil of man's heart. And we should glorify him for that. Is the event horrific? Absolutely. But we should thank God, oh Lord, thank you for not letting this happen every day. Verse 2. And God the Father has given Christ power over all flesh. Do you believe that? Religion doesn't believe that. Religion believes, well, he's got power, but the salvation of my soul is really up to me. When you hear someone say God wants to save you, they are saying right here, God is a liar. He doesn't have power over all flesh. But I'm saying by the word of God, he does. He will save every one of those that he chose to save. He's given the power of all flesh that Christ should give eternal life to as many as God the Father has given him. He's going to give life, eternal life, to every single one that God the Father gave him. And I thought about this, and I thought, you know, the obedience of Christ. Christ has the power to save whomever he wants, but the obedience of Christ to God the Father, there's no chance that Christ is going to save one less or one more than those that God the Father gave him. I need to know I'm God's child. If I'm one of these, my troubles at work and my troubles in my life mean absolutely temporal. Temporal. This is a hard thing to understand. Every one of us in this room, every child of Adam and Eve, are eternal beings. The day's going to come where we'll be eternally with God the Father and Christ the Son and the Spirit in glory, or we'll be left in the lake of fire for eternity. And I started thinking about this. Some of us, what little we have is gray now. We can tell you that our time on this earth is but a flash. And to say how it compares to eternity, these temporal things that I worry about, and I guess Robert Rogers, I struggle over with, compared to eternity, I'm a fool. And it's my flesh not believing God. Oh, but he's going to give life to every one of them. And verse 3, Christ is saying, "And this is life eternal, that they might know God the Father, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom God the Father sent." God the Father sent Christ here to do a work. He sent him to do a work, and that work was to save his people. And it's a work that he's going to accomplish. That's a comfort to my soul. So I said, I need a peace that doesn't depend on something I do or I've done. I need a peace dependent on what God Almighty's done. And that's what he says. I've sent Christ. In verse 4, Christ said, "I have glorified thee on the earth. I have..." If you got a highlighter, you need to highlight that. What's that word? "I have finished. I have finished the work which thou gavest me to do." He's finished it. He didn't make it available. He finished it. Now, brothers and sisters, that is a comfort to this old sinner soul. That Christ Almighty, that God, the triune God, sent Christ to finish the righteousness and to take on my sins. And it's a finished work. That was his work. That's what it says. You turn over to John 5. You know, they ask, "May I do the works of salvation?" And then it follows that. It says, that's the work of God. God has to do the work. I can't do the work. I'm incapable of doing the work. I fail every time I try to do the work. And I guess, I have pity for those in religion. Man, the burden of that work is overwhelming to this person. I can't do it, Lord. I can't do it. You know, most of us came from religion. How many times did you leave the services more burdened than when you came in the door? Because the Lord kept putting that, "I can't do the work." He gave the work which Father God gave him to do, and he completed it, and it is finished. "And now, O Father, glorify thou me with thy own self, with the glory which I had with thee before the world was." When Christ left glory, heaven, he had all the glory. And he says, "Now glorify me with the work that I'm fixing to do." Is God the Father ever going to turn down the work of Christ as a finished, acceptable work? Don't you believe it. He's going to be fully satisfied. Verse 6, he says, "I have manifested thy name unto the men," that's men and women, "which thou gavest me out of the world." You know, this is kind of a ship's term. You know, ships had a manifest. Some of you in business, you get a manifest, and it tells you everything, the ship, everything was on that ship. Christ says he has manifested his name. He's told the people everything about God the Father, Christ the Son, and Christ the Spirit. And in this book, he's told us just how he's going to save his people. "And he gave them to the men and women which he gave me out of this world. Why do I have so much conflicts? Because I'm a pilgrim and a stranger in this world. I have to keep reminding myself. Sometimes I don't think I'm enough of a pilgrim or stranger, but that's that old flesh wanting to. But we are. As soon as people find out what you believe about God and about Christ and salvation, well, you'll find you're a stranger real quick in this world. What we value, the world says, is foolishness. What we value is foolishness. I know a case breaks your heart sometimes. I know people who are worldly, very well off. Beyond my understanding, they're so well off. We'll put $5 million over here, $10 million over here. They live in a house worth $100 million, all that. And they're as lost as can be. The day's going to come when they're going to stand before the holy God in judgment. And their worldly goods, like Paul said, were dumb. They have no peace. Just a little bit more. They gave us me out of this world. These people were God the Father's. God the Father gave them to Christ, and they have kept thy word. Do you believe God the Father gave Christ a people? A certain people? A particular people? And that the work of the Jesus Christ was only for those people? Religion doesn't believe that. That's what I say. The only way you or I can believe that is that we're God's child. Because we sure didn't believe it before now, did we? We believe God loved everybody, wanted to save everybody. It's not what the Bible says. They've kept the word. How have I kept God's word? In my substitute, Christ. That's such a relief to me and a peace to know that my salvation is not depending on something I'm doing or have ever done, but it's depending on what Christ has finished already. That is, if that doesn't give you peace, you'll never have peace. That's why when we're in conflicts and trials, Lord, I know you brought it. I know they're not going away. Would you cause me, every day I have to pray, Lord, cause me to look to you and to run to you and to rest on you. Because the more I'm trying to fix it, the worse it's getting. And thankfully the Lord has, he's doing it for his glory and my good. Because I promise you, if you're a child of God, you're going to get a point where you're going to throw your hands and tears are going to run down your eyes. Because you're going to say, Lord, I cannot handle this. It's beyond me, Lord. If you don't handle this, Lord, I can't handle it. The hard part is to be thankful for it while you're going through it. Because the Lord's ordained it. And I always think of the song, whatever my God ordains is right. Holy his will abideth. Lord, you brought me into this trial for your glory and my good. Teach me, Lord. Teach me to look to you. And I hate to say this. He has to break my hands from wanting to hold on to worldly things. Maybe you don't have that. I do. Verse 7. Now they have known that all things whatsoever thou hast given me are of thee. Christ's perfect obedience to God the Father. I can't explain it, but I know this. That union between the Trinity and God's people, it cannot be broken and it cannot be changed. And it's always accomplishes what God set out to do. And I'm thankful for that. Verse 8, for I have given unto them the words which you gave me, and they received them. I remember Brother Todd how do I know, believe it? When I heard the gospel as the gospel. When I heard the gospel, not just as another form of the gospel, it was the gospel. This is it. Everything outside of this is a lie. And I knew the gospel, it was the gospel of my salvation. Paul says, the only one that has the power to save. I've given the word which thou gavest, and they've received it. And the only reason you and I received it, because God the Spirit came and gave us faith to believe it. And I have known surely that I came out from thee, and they have believed that thou did send me. You ask people, what? Well, why did Christ come into this earth? Most will say to make salvation possible, won't they? No. Christ came to save his people. To reveal God the Father and the Trinity to them, and the Spirit would come and give them the faith to believe it. Verse 9. This is Christ speaking. I pray for them. I'm not praying for everybody. I'm praying for them. And I can say, I need Christ to pray for me. Oh, Lord, would you pray for me? I thought about, Peter. He was reading about Peter. I'm sure when Peter denied Christ, he had to think, well, that's the end of it for me. But the Lord told him, he said, Peter, you're going to deny me. Michael, you're going to sin against me. Michael, you're not going to believe me. Michael, you're going to want to trust in your self-righteousness. But be of good cheer. I've prayed for you. Oh, Lord, thank you prayed for me. I need to be prayed for. And I need someone to pray for me whose prayers are always answered and is given. And that's the Lord Jesus Christ. I pray for me. And just to work clear, he says, I pray not for the world, but for them which thou hast given me, for they are thine. We're God the Father's, we're Christ the Son's, and we're God the Spirit, we're their people. And they are always, always sovereignly interacting for their glory and our good. The world doesn't believe that. If you can believe that, it's because God had to give you the faith to believe it. And the only way we can believe that is if we're his child. All are mine, all are thine. Thine are mine, and I'm glorified in them. How in the world could Christ be glorified in me? Like I said, I was spared mostly from a lot of religion. But, in religion, they always want to talk about crowns. You know what I'm saying? I remembered a little bit about crowns. Maybe some of you don't remember crowns this, crowns that. We are the crowns. And our king wears the crowns. The Lord Jesus Christ, he gets all the crowns. And he looks at it and he says, look what I did for Noah Dunbar. That's a work right there of my glory and my grace right there. He would have never come to me. He had no desire for me. But one day, I sent my Spirit and I made him willing, and he came. And now he believes what I tell him in the gospel. Because I can assure you, you didn't believe it before that. In fact, most of us hated it. We were like Peter. We spoke ill of it, didn't we? We denied it. Oh, but we are Christ and our Father. I'm so thankful he's not like me, an earthly father. Verse 11, Christ says, now I'm no more in the world. He's fixing to leave. But these are in the world. That's us. We're still in this world, and we come to thee. Holy Father, keep through thy own name those whom thou hast given me, that they may be one just as we are. Can you say, Bert alluded to in his prayer, God, if you don't keep me, I'm going to fall. You let me get close to temptation, I'm going to go for it. Lord, I am completely dependent on you to keep me the whole way. Kept. I need to be kept through his name, the Lord Jesus Christ. I need to be kept. Give me a chance to, I thought about this, and Some years ago, Don Fortner was up here and he was preaching. And I'm not a very bright man, so I can do well with illustrations that I can understand. And he said one of the things that he liked to do was when he got, he was on a trip, he'd come home, his granddaughter would run up to him. And they would clasp their hands, you know, wrist to wrist like that, and he'd twirl it around. And she'd always say, "Faster, Grandpa, faster, faster, faster." Till guess what happened? Her grip let go. But his never did. His grip never let go. That was her hope. I know the Lord. My grip on the Lord, I flee that thing. I let go hundreds of times a day. But oh, thanks be to God, his grip on me never lets go. It's not dependent on my grip to him. It's his grip to me. And we do lay hold of Christ. Don't get me wrong, but it's our trust is that he'll never let us go, that he'll keep us all the way to the end. Verse 13, "And now come I to thee, and these things I speak in the world, that his people, the children of God, might have my joy fulfilled in themselves." This old flesh confuses joy and happiness. Happiness depends on my circumstances. And it can change just like that, can't it? Joy never changes. Joy never changes. This is a terrible explanation, but I'll tell you it's one. This is Father's Day, so we can use it. Parents, you ever been disappointed in your children? Yeah, if you haven't. You're living in a different world than I am, I'll say that. But my joy in them never left. That we might have God's joy. God's joy in us. That's his Spirit causing us to look to Christ. Verse 14, "I have given them thy word, and the world has hated them." Sometimes I struggle to think, you know, the world doesn't hate me like it probably should. But the reason is they don't know what I believe. "Because they're not of the world, even as I'm not of the world. We are strangers and pilgrims in this land." I had a lot of refugees work for me. And they spoke Bosnian, Chinese, all the different languages. And I don't know how you feel, but sometimes, you know, they'd look at me, and they'd look at me and laugh. And I thought, I don't know what they're saying, but this, I don't feel good about this at all. They were kind to me, don't get me wrong. That's how we are. We're strangers. We talk a different language. We talk an eternal language. We talk of Christ and salvation and the glory of God and all our hopes in him. And here's the answer to why the prayer to take me out of this world doesn't occur. Verse 15, "Christ has prayed not that thou shouldest take them out of the world, but thou shouldest keep them from evil." That tells me right there, Christ has prayed and God's going to grant this prayer. My conflicts are not going to go away. I'm going to heaven, but that the Lord, that Christ would keep me from evil. And that's keep me from not pursuing evil. Because if evil comes present, I'm going to go after it. That's just my nature. Keep me from evil. "We're not of the world, even as I'm not of the world. Lord, set them apart through thy truth. The world is truth." I know, Brother Greg, we should always pray. Pray for God's servants, because some of the evil things people say about them, to them, it's they hate them. It's an evil hate. We think our politics right now is an evil hate. the hate to God's true preachers, true gospel preachers, that doesn't even compare. Sanctify them through the truth. The word is truth. Thou hast sent me into the world, even so I have also sent them into the world. We're here in this world. For their sakes, Christ says, I'm setting myself apart, that they also might be sanctified through the truth. We are set apart. How many times have you had somebody say to you, you folks are the most unloving, uncaring kind of people that I've ever seen. You think you're the only ones. No, we're not the only ones who know the truth, but we know the truth. And because we know the truth, we are set apart. Verse 20, that's what I want to get to. Neither pray I for these alone, but for them also which shall believe on me through their word. And I can look around this auditorium right now. Somebody spoke Christ to you, and he used sinful, wicked people such as us to bring him to himself. That's why we're still in this world. We are to be his witness. You don't see it in my daily life. You certainly wouldn't see it if you could see my heart and thoughts I have. But I always appreciated what Brother Henry Mahan said. He said, every believer knows how to witness. Because you've heard, well, I don't know how to explain the doctrines of grace. And that's not what we're called to do. And I always thought this was so wise. He said, you just tell them what Christ done for you. That's all you need to tell them. You don't have to debate doctrine. Just like the blind man. I know I was blind, and now I see. You can tell me all you want, but you still get back. I know I was blind, and now I see. Tell them what Christ has done for you. And the last one, verse 21. That every one of us may be one as thou, Father, art in me, and I in thee. That they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me. The union between the Trinity, the triune God and his people, cannot be broken. It cannot be changed. And oh, thanks to God, it's not dependent on us to keep it. He's never going to let us go. I'm going to close, I guess. I remember something that just stayed with me. So, you can know sound doctrine and not know Christ. There's a multitude of people out there. You can say, I know all these things and not know Christ. But if you know Christ, you're going to know sound doctrine. Our family was in religion. I don't know, Robert, what'd you call him? Law, heavily law. Fundamental Baptist religion. They're the ones talked about sin. That's what I thought. And after a while, you realize there's no gospel there. I was as lost as could be, but I knew it wasn't. I remember as he used to pray for him to walk the aisle, I'd be praying for him, don't get out, because I don't want them to trust in something they've done. And our time come to leave, and I've told this before, so I went in, I thought out of courtesy, I didn't want a phone call every 5 minutes. Well, what's going on? So I went in to see preacher. I said, well, I have to leave because I will tell you, I believe salvation is totally of the Lord and not by human will. That's what the Word of God says. And here's a man been, quote, preaching for 40 years. He looked at me, he says, Michael, you don't believe in that election stuff, do you? Well, I really didn't know what he meant, but I could tell he didn't like it. So I thought, absolutely. Couldn't have told you what it meant for the life of me, but I thought, this will put an end to this relationship, won't it? And he looked at me and he said, I fear for you and I fear for your family, because I think you're bringing great evil and devastation to them by doing this. I said, well, I'm leaving. Thank you for everything, and I'll wish you the best. I have no hard feelings. After God was pleased to save me, I want to tell you, do I believe in election? Not really. I believe in a God who elects. Do you see the difference? One was a doctrine, the other is a person. The salvation of my soul is not on doctrine. The salvation of my soul is on a person, the Lord Jesus Christ. My hope is not in some doctrine. My hope's in Christ. You see that? I hope you do, because there's a difference. A lot of people say they believe in election and they don't believe in Christ, do they? I pray that the Lord will enable us today to see by His Spirit that you and I can know that we are God's child. Not because I believe these, but because I believe the God who spoke these things. You see, you know, that's what I want to make sure. It's not the doctrine, it's the person who spoke these words. That's where my hope's at. And what a great hope it is to know. Death may come. It could come tonight. Lord, bring it. You know best. I'm prepared to go. I'm prepared to go. I hope He'll give you that hope and that comfort and that peace to know that, you know, Lord, only you know, Lord. I may be sleeping in a box in 4 weeks. Now, who knows? Underneath the rail. But you know what, Lord? I know you've ordained it. I know it's right and good. And I pray that you'll give me the faith to look to you. And not, boy, this is one for me, not to complain against your good providence. Because it's right and it's good. And I know in the end, your relationship with me can't be broken. Boy, that's a comfort to my soul. That I'm dependent on the holy God who never fails. And the only reason I'm able to do that, because He done all the work. I pray the Lord will comfort your souls with that. Thank you very much.
We're going to close with number 32. Y'all please stand.
Children of wrath, in bondage and sin, we helplessly lay, condemned and unclean. God's law in its infinite justice and wrath demanded we suffer an eternal death. But long before time had ever begun, once stood in our place God's glorious Son. He offered Himself to go live among men and give His own life to atone for our sin. The great substitute, behold, He has come. The price has been paid, the work is all done. Christ took on Himself the great load of our sin. He poured out His blood and He put away sin. God's justice and law are now satisfied,
and all who believe have been justified through faith. The blood of the Lamb, we are free from sin's condemnation, eternally free. Amen.